Welcome to the Butts to Seats podcast, episode number 140.
Extreme edition.
I'm Nick alongside Emily.
Extreme Emily.
Yeah, extreme Emily.
I'm so extreme that it's a 10 episode, and that means shots.
Yeah. We're breaking rank on this. It's not a cream-based shot.
So for people who have not been listening for a long time, every 10 episodes, we create a shot and we take it at the beginning of the episode to commemorate the past 10 and to cheers to the upcoming 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So we make up a shot every single time. Nick, what did you make us today? It's not cream-based as it has been in the past.
Yeah, I don't have a fun name for this. It is whipped vodka, strawberry juice, and some simple syrup.
Very much not extreme.
No.
But sounds tasty as hell.
Yeah, I don't think I have any tie-ins to today's show.
It's kind of the color of blood.
Nah. All right, let's do it before it gets warm.
Cheers.
Cheers.
To 10 episodes and 10 more. Ooh, that's very tasty. That's very sweet and sugary, but man, is that tasty.
Oh, yeah.
That's really yummy.
Well, Emily, when we're not doing shots, what is it we do here?
Oh, I don't know. We're mostly doing shots.
We haven't done a shot in 20 weeks.
Oh, you mean on the podcast?
Live. Yeah.
On the podcast, we take a week-by-week look at the slow but inevitable downfall of WCW through the late 90s and early 2000s. However, sometimes we deviate from the WCW of it all and take a look into the competitors. And this week, it's ECW.
Yeah, we take a look at the final year of ECW pay-per-views, and man, we're running out.
Yeah, we really are.
Yeah, so today's episode is ECW November to Remember 2000.
So that kind of gives you an idea of what time it is.
Yeah. Which, for some reason on Peacock, it's like joined as part of the last season with 99. Normally, each year is its own season. This one's not. I don't know why.
Who knows? Who can really explain streaming services?
I forget how much we noted based on the last episode, because when we recorded the last episode, it was, cool, Hulk Hogan has just died, Brock Lesnar's back, wrestling's going to be very expensive to watch and everything, and we have downloads. We are set.
We are set. We're not excited about current wrestling. However, we do have all of this downloaded. So if everything goes to shit and that $30 becomes impossible, we are fine.
Yes, thanks to that, we will have the original version of One Night Stand 2005.
Does that have the original like music?
Yes.
Okay, because that was a problem that we were having with this ECW show.
Yeah, so normally, I have a download from God knows where.
Yar.
Of, well, yeah, but even then, where are they finding it?
Mm.
This must have been some shitty DVD rip, because the file quality was not good.
No, it was pretty blurry.
And then the music was dubbed.
Usually, if the video quality sucks, the music is correct. So it's like, is it worth it? And sometimes like the grittiness of the bad video quality is worth it because, you know, it's ECW. It's a little gritty. But this one was just gritty and the dub music. So we're like, well, fuck, if we're going to be watching the dubbed music anyway, I guess let's go to Peacock.
Yeah. Because it was during somebody's like entrance where it's like, oh, there's no commentary. They did not try.
I think it was the first match.
I think I noted it in my notes. So we got that going for us. Regardless, Emily, I hate to tell you this, we cannot play The Price is Right.
There's no November to Remember before?
There is no buy rate information for ECW at this point. They never came out, they never announced it, and
it was probably just bad.
It's probably around what WCW was doing at the time.
So WCW should be following suit.
They have a public interest because they're part of Turner, so I think they have to. And I'm wondering, because they don't have any television stuff, is that why it's not coming out? It's not being reported to anyone?
Maybe. It's just so different. It's such a different energy right now. I recognize that the backstage politics of ECW right now suck ass, but watching ECW after watching WCW, the public is just so much more interested in what's happening at ECW. The audience of these shows are on their feet the whole time. They are excited. They are in it. They are so hyped to be there. WCW, it's like pulling teeth to get people in the audience.
Yeah, WCW goes out of business because it's out of money, not because, you know, lost all your viewers and now you're not, you know, worth keeping.
ECW lost its money. It never lost its passion. And you can kind of tell that in current day wrestling where, like, a big crazy move happens, ECW. You don't hear a WCW chant. Like, what would that even be for?
Someone comes in, cashes a check, WCW.
Random stupid swerve happens, WCW.
No, no, the version of that is in TNA, and that chant is, fire Russo.
You know, yeah.
How did it feel to have no Russo, no Bischoff, no Hogan anywhere near any element of the show
like
there?
Like I said, I know that the backstage politics of ECW are sucky right now, but God, it feels so light and fresh and wonderful.
Yeah, I bought you Rise and Fall of ECW, the book, because we've watched the documentary, and at this point, I don't even know if Paul Heyman's there.
I don't think he is.
Tommy Dreamer's running a lot of stuff. It's such a weird state of... There's always an element of inmates running the asylum, and now it's even worse. Is this asylum even still, you know, a public thing?
Yeah. Did the asylum already get shut down and the inmates are still just, like, riding the high? Like, it's inmates running the asylum, but it's... You can feel the passion still, and that is so missing in WCW that, like, it sucks that this company fell first. This company is the one that deserved to live on.
I mean...
It kind of, but not really. We're not even going to go there, because it didn't.
We'll talk about that when we get to One Night Stand.
It didn't live on.
Anyway, we're getting far ahead of ourselves. We still have... After this, we have two more original ECW pay-per-views.
Okay.
But let's get into this show. It's ECW, November to Remember. Live from Villa Park, Illinois, a.k.a. Chicago.
Yeah, they're just going to call it suburban Chicago.
Yeah. On November 5th, 2000, insert your favorite V for Vendetta joke here. So there's 4,600 fans in attendance. Apparently only 2,600 paid, so 2,000 were comped. Nitro apparently is basically in town the next day.
Hmm.
So I think that was counter-programming by someone in WCW to be like, hey, we're coming.
Maybe.
Save your money.
Maybe. But God, this is a better show.
Well, we haven't seen the next show yet. You never know.
Nick, we've talked about there becoming a point in WCW where we take a shot for every episode. I vouched for that already. You're the one saying no.
I think we're past the point is the problem.
Then we need to just start now.
Well, no, I'm saying I don't know how much we're going to need it going forward.
Oh, we're going to need it.
So I only have two backstage notes, but one of them is going to be a talking point. I guess technically both of them will, because Rob Van Dam has basically quit due to lack of pay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he is like, oh, you're not paying me. I'm gone. And sure. He doesn't go anywhere else. He will come back for Guilty as Charged. And, you know, and then the company goes out and then he eventually comes to WWE.
Yeah.
His debut in WWE is so nothing.
He's pretty down the line, isn't he? He's like 2003?
No. He's part of the Invasion.
Oh, fuck. You're right.
But I'm saying his first appearance, like, he just runs in with Tommy Dreamer, like...
Oh, he's ECW.
Yeah. Yikes. It's like, what the fuck?
I mean, my first introduction to ECW was The Invasion. And my first introduction was Stephanie McMahon being like, I bought ECW. It's mine now. Like, I didn't fucking know.
And Paul Heyman be like, you're the boss.
Yeah. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about anything.
Problem is that as a moment goes hard, but it's terrible with all, you know.
With hindsight, sucks.
You know, it's cinema.
No.
So, there's some talk about James Mitchell on this show.
Yes.
And how the FBI cut off one of his fingers or something.
Okay, yeah, tell me more about this.
Yeah, apparently he was playing with a fireball gun backstage. I don't even... You know what? We should have shot a fireball for this.
Yeah, we should have. Do we even have fireball?
I don't know.
I don't think we do.
Yeah, apparently he hurt himself while playing with a fireball gun. And it left a bullet-sized hole in his stomach.
Oh my God.
And he tore off a piece of his thumb and forefinger.
Wait, how?
He badly burned his left hands, and apparently it cut an artery, and he started going into shock.
Oh my, how was he holding
I don't know.
The fireball gun where it got his stomach, his finger, his hand, and his arm?
I don't know, but look, I've seen this man,
you know,
I guess either pretend or actually do cocaine in the year of our Lord 2024, 2025 on NWA TV. So
oh, yeah, that was actually for real. That was for real. 100%.
I mean, it was meant to be a work, but was it?
No.
So let's go into the opening of the actual show, because it's kind of a strange one. We go backstage, ECW champion Jerry Lynn opens it up, and he's like, I'm a fighting champion, and tonight the title's in double jeopardy.
So I thought this was just him being like, it's super serious.
Double secret probation, if you will.
Exactly. I thought this was just like super serious, big match. Like, that's what he meant by double jeopardy. I didn't realize what double jeopardy actually meant in this moment.
Yeah, I don't know how much they do, because we get spoon-fed that throughout the night.
Yeah, Joey Styles has no idea what double jeopardy is.
Yeah, so he's fighting Just Incredible, Steve Corino, and the Sandman later tonight. And Emily, do you want to give the reading of the last line of this promo?
I am the champion of the world!
Jesus, holy spike. Yeah, but that's what it is. Emily hit it right on the fucking head.
There was no third letter. It was just, whoa.
We didn't get Just Incredible and Francine, who was stroking a kendo stick. They cut a promo about how much he wants to win the title. She is. She's actively.
I know. It's so phallic in the moment, but you saying stroking makes it worse.
Sorry, she's Jeff Jarrett-ing a kendo stick. And apparently in lore, they're not fucking because Just Incredible is not the champion. And her legs are closed until he wins the title back.
I missed this. Yeah. In the main event, commentary does say, like, how long you think it's been since Francine had sex? And they said, like, oh, well, the real question is how long has it been since Justin's had sex? Because Francine can get it. Like,
Sandman cuts a promo. He's like, I'm not PC. Like, okay.
No one ever said that you were.
And Steve Caruto is just like, I don't want to do a promo. Dawn Marie interrupts him, and it's like, what the fuck?
What's happening?
And then Corino cuts the best promo out of the four, but, like, then just walks away from Dawn Marie and Jack Victory. And the line we leave this on is Dawn Marie going, what the fuck? I'm like, yeah, same, girl.
What the fuck? But she says it very, like, 2000s Valley, where it's like, what the fuck?
We then go inside the arena. Joey Styles and Joel Gertner welcome us.
Oh, God. I did not take any note of what Joel Gertner said.
Well, Joey's like, we're in Chicago. I'm like, are you? And then, yeah, Joel does his thing, but he, like, fucks up his own rhymes. I started writing it. I'm like, this isn't clever or funny enough for me to note.
You wrote down the whole thing?
No. I started, and then I went, eh. But, yeah, he does the Joel Gertner thing, but not well.
Everything that, like, was supposed to be big in this show, essentially, like, Joel Gertner is supposed to be kind of gross. Certain matches later are supposed to be really crazy and hardcore. They're just kind of not.
Also, mild spoilers, this is the only fucking thing Joel Gertner does tonight, and he didn't have a good rhyme. Like,
he
come on.
He doesn't even get on commentary. He just disappears. He clocks out after this.
We then get Simon Diamond interrupting, and he has a problem.
What's his problem?
He wants his name mentioned around here, and he's like, my partner's injured, and Tommy Dreamer hasn't wrestled in 10 weeks, and that's because of me, and sure.
Nobody's talking about that.
Yeah, Simon draws his ire to Joel Gertner, and Gertner's like, I put you over all the time on TV, and then is like, oh, I can't remember your name because you're an undercard joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
It's like, I would put you over if I remembered who the fuck you were.
Simon then attacks Joel, so Joey attacks Diamond. Injured partner, not injured, Johnny Swinger comes out, so Tommy Dreamer comes and makes the save.
Big return.
C.W. Anderson then comes out and attacks Dreamer. So Christian York and Joey Matthews make the save.
There's so many people. There's a lot happening.
And they are the Bad Street Boys. They brawl with Simon and Swinger. And
the bell does ring. This is a match.
The bell rings. There's no commentary because Joey's at fucking ringside. Joel is also at ringside, more beat down. And eventually we get Cyrus. I don't know where the fuck he was.
Yeah, I was giving them a lot of grace here where I was like, okay, we need to have the brawl happen while Joey makes his way to the commentary booth. So there's going to be a little bit of dead air.
I don't even get why Cyrus on commentary.
I don't know.
Well, I'm thinking about it in terms of, Emily, what is Cyrus's whole gimmick?
He's the virus.
Well, here, he's the network representative.
Oh, okay.
They're not on TNN anymore.
Oh, Maybe he just needed something to do.
Well, yeah, but I'm just like, in kayfabe, are you here?
In kayfabe, there's no answer, but in, you know, payroll, he needed a job.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not questioning in payroll. And maybe it came up on TV, but it's like, all right, well.
But what you said, though, Cyrus was not in the ring when all of this happened, so he could have just jumped on immediately and done all of the commentary while waiting for Joey, and eventually he does,
yeah,
but not well.
My logic is he was around and saw an opening and went, and like sprinted across the building.
Oh, maybe. But he stays on commentary through the whole show.
Yeah, well,
I don't know. We're thinking about this too much.
Yeah, admittedly, I feel like I've heard a whole bunch about how, like, oh, Joey Styles, sole commentator. I've got a lot of fucking Joey and Cyrus, man.
Yeah.
Or Joey and Shane Douglas, or Joey and insert someone. Like, this whole one-man commentary thing, I think it's a little overstated.
Oh, it definitely is. But, like, I remember Joey being the one-man commentary for a while. Like, I still think of him as a one-man band with commentary.
Yeah.
I hate it. I don't like it. It's a lot of Joey Styles.
So let's get into this match. The Bad Street Boys hit a double power bomb and stereo dives to the outside. They then hit double dives from the corner as well. And eventually, like, the heels gain the advantage via cheating. CW Anderson's still here. Like, why? You guys don't seem to be in the same group together. I don't know what's going on with that. Simon Diamond hits a Three Amigos, finish with a front falling face buster. This is where we get Cyrus coming in on commentary as Swinger works over Christian York. Joey Matthews gets a hot tag, but gets put down by Swinger. Simon and Swinger hit a double-team sidewalk slam and neckbreaker on a chair for a two. The Bad Street Boys attempt a double-team dive combo, but CW Anderson just comes in, hits a spinebuster, and Simon and Swinger hit a snapshot for the win, which I did find it funny to see them do that move, because that is basically the finisher of Joey Matthews and Johnny Nitro when they're M&M in WWE.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, weird to see you take that. All right.
Yeah.
Post-match, the heels attack the faces for a while until Kid Cash eventually makes the save, jumps off the back of the ref, onto the ropes, onto everybody, which leads into our next match, but let's just reflect on the last match for a second.
Yeah, because it's nonstop for here.
I had a hard time getting settled into this one.
Yeah, this was very quick to start, very quick to finish, very messy start. Very ECW, honestly.
Yeah, just to, like, believe in your matches to have them just sit exist. And be a match. Yeah. And we don't need 17 run-ins to set up a match. And apparently this wasn't on the schedule, which is becoming more and more common for ECW shows, that it's like they advertise a couple matches and then it's like, oh, they'll just be other ones.
It's spontaneous. It's like the future Vince Russo company. Everything's just super, super spontaneous. It's sex.
I was listening back to our first episode. We're talking about Halloween Havoc 98.
Yeah.
And at one point, there's like a bonus match, and Tony Schiavone's like, you never know what you're going to get on a WWE pay-per-view. I'm like, no, I should know. I should know what I'm buying.
I'm paying for this.
It's like, all right, you're getting a 10-piece wing, but 4 pieces might be something else. But yeah, I mean, everyone here is decent. And it's just, yeah, when there's not a big story or like any sort of feud going in, it's like, okay. This match does feel like a theme of tonight where, like you said, we're only watching the monthly pay-per-views, but it does feel like everyone's just kind of stuck in place. And I feel like everyone here on the last show was doing something similar to this or this adjacent.
Interesting. Okay, I see what you mean. Did you feel like they knew at this time that this was going to be the last November to Remember?
No, I mean, they were trying to save this thing like throughout.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big difference between WCW and ECW is
ECW never laid down.
Yeah. WCW got sold and then like, well, that's it.
Yeah.
ECW was like, no, we can keep her. We can keep it going. And I guess
speaking of people. The fucking heart of it all. Like, passion.
And I guess speaking of people, yeah, doing the same thing as last time and an impromptu match, it's Kid Cash. Because he had one last pay-per-view too.
Did he? I love Kid Cash. I'm not mad.
Because it was the like, all right. Joel Gertner, you got to beat this guy so you have the match with Cyrus.
And it was Kid Cash?
Kid Cash came out to fight for Joel Gertner.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. Kid Cash versus CW Anderson. And I'm like, I love me some CW Anderson.
I love me some Kid Cash.
There's going to be a sad moment when we watch One Night Stand 2005.
He did.
Nope. He's in the front row, not participating.
Oh, that sucks worse.
Yeah. I think it's him, Elektra, and somebody else. And I'm like, oh.
Did they just forget about him?
I think he just didn't book him. He didn't seem to be wrestling a bunch around that time. Yeah. I think we've talked about him a little bit before. Yeah, so Kid Cash wants a match with CW Anderson. The bell rings. Cash hits quick offense and counters as Joey Styles joins commentary. Anderson hits a big clothesline laying out Cash and then is sent to the floor on a waist lock. Cash teases a few dives and hits a vaulting Hurricane Rana to the floor. Cash dumps Anderson onto the floor and then hits a jumping leg lariat over the barricade. Cash fucks a chair at Anderson and then tries for a double springboard, but Anderson catches him into a T-bone style suplex.
I love that that's become your go-to verb. Just fucks it.
I mean, it's a very specific style of throw.
Just fuck you.
Joey Styles notes, like, well, our lineup tonight's basically fucked. I don't know what all these matches are doing. Anderson starts working over the arm, starting with a move that, like, isn't 100% crisp, so it gets a "you fucked up" champ, and I'm like, come on.
Like, they're so quick with the "you fucked up" chants in the show. They didn't fuck up. They didn't. It wasn't as clean, but they didn't fuck up.
Anderson throws a chair at the shoulder of Cash and then locks in a hold. Anderson throws Cash in the corner, and Cash mostly whiffs a whisper in the wind. It's like the worst possible angle they could have gotten for this thing.
Yeah.
My actual note on that is, somewhere Michael Cole goes, "Didn't get all of it." Anderson hits a big left hand, which gets a big reaction from the crowd. I guess this is just over at ECW that it's like, oh, Anderson's throw a mean fucking left hook.
I guess.
CW Anderson then hits an arm TKO, which I don't think I've ever seen before. Cash hits a springboard sunset flip, and then both men are down on a clothesline. The two throw a flurry of offense, getting up, giving us a good, like, scrappy vibe of this fight. Anderson blocks a moneymaker, but is hit with a double springboard Hurricane Rana. Cash goes up top, gets crotched, and Anderson hits a delayed superplex. The two trade pin attempts until an Anderson spinebuster for only a two. Anderson counters a moneymaker, and Cash hits a running tornado DDT and gets the win. And
hell yeah.
Yeah, this is where the weird dub hits, where we have no commentary, we swapped over.
Yeah, and there's the music's wrong and whatever. But, like, regardless, this was so fun.
Oh, yeah.
This was such a fun match.
It's like, I know Kid Cash is apparently a bit of a prick, but, like...
but God, can he wrestle.
I think this had the good power base, where it's like, all right, there is, like, a variation of two things going on. Things breathe as much as they can in ECW.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, Kid Cash is so flippy and, like, jumping off the top rope and, like, see, I like that clash of styles where it's like, yeah, a big flippy or a little flippy guy with a big stocky, like, I'm on the floor and I'm gonna fuck your day up with the left hooks. Like, I, yeah, like that change of style.
And admittedly, I usually get tired of, all right, he's working the arm, whatever. CW Anderson did a lot of good work of variety of offense and working an arm that you don't see a lot now. It's like, he took moves you do normally and, like, modified them to work the arm. And I went, right, like, great fucking job by both these guys.
Honestly, yeah. Like, this was a match where I was like, I wasn't into the first pseudo mess of a match that we had. When this one started, I was ready for it to be more of that. And I, like, felt myself be like, oh, no, hold on. No, wait a second.
Yeah, I almost wish this had more of a build because you might have gotten a little story, a little more drama, yeah, out of it. So, Emily, we are two matches in. So we get the ECW opening.
Sure. I feel like, did they just forget?
When were they going to do it? It was literally nonstop. I guess maybe...
at the very, very beginning?
Yeah, then or before you go to Joey, but usually they throw to the thing, but...
yeah, I guess. I feel like if it's this late into the show, just don't do it.
This was a different one than usual. I don't know how new that is.
I don't know.
Well, I guess our first official match on the card, which I guess technically is slightly adjusted because of... certain people were going to be in certain matches. I think Kid Cash was supposed to be in this, or I don't know.
Yes, Kid Cash was supposed to be in this.
But it's Danny Doring and Roadkill versus Hot Commodity, Chris Hamrick, Julio De Niro, and Easy Money with Elektra. And I apologize for not remembering who called me on this, but thank you to whoever reminded me that Julio De Niro is to wrestling what Michael Jordan is to basketball. We have seen Julio De Niro before. Last ECW episode, I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? He wrestled on Heroes of Wrestling.
Of course. Of course.
Yes, we may have blocked that out.
Yeah, but, I mean, you don't remember the spectacle that was Heroes of Wrestling? I think if I listened to us talk about Heroes of Wrestling, it would be like I never sat down and recorded that.
Yeah.
I'm like, fair. Wow, what a fun new episode.
Joey Styles points out during the introductions that it's like, oh, I guess this is going to be a handicap match. Chris Hamrick grabs a mic. He is rocking some Confederate gear, so sure that's is. Fun. He grabs a mic, so he gets "you suck dick" chance. Like, oh, okay.
Well, he does with the Confederate gear, but you know.
Chris Hamrick says Kid Cash got his ass handed to him. I'm like, he fucking won. Yeah, he got beat up, but like...
but he won.
Everyone brawls and the faces are outnumbered. And then we get Spike Dudley coming out and pops off his leg brace and he just joins the match. He is the commissioner of ECW right now.
Right. But he's coming out to make it not a handicap match.
Yes.
Even the odds, if you will.
Dudley takes out all three of the heels, and now it's 3-on-3. Doring dives onto Hamrick. De Niro dives onto the two. Money then dives onto the three. And then Spike dives onto all of them as well, which really, the person who fucked up the most here was Easy Money saw a pile of Danny Doring and his two partners and went, I'll jump on them.
Sure. That'll be good for your team.
Roadkill hits a World's Strongest Slam in the ring on Hamrick and hits a Vader Bomb elbow. Doring hits his diving elbow and the Faces hit a triple team heart attack on Julio De Niro. Elektra trips up Doring and the heels gain the advantage, and we get a pretty decent We Want Spike chant here. I think people have been missing him because his leg injury like was legit, so he's not been wrestling.
Wait, so he pulled a Seth Rollins with this leg brace?
No. I guess.
In a like, I'm healed sort of a way.
Yes, but Spike was actually hurt and they're like, here's something for you to do. That said, he was fucking doing spots on his injured leg because that's, you know, as was the style at the time.
That's who Spike Dudley is.
He actually just did an interview, I think, with Chris Van Fleet and...
Spike did?
Yeah.
Oh.
They were talking about a spot of Undertaker chokeslamming him, like, from the ring all the way to the floor. Undertaker apparently saw him and was like, brother, I'm sorry for doing that. Spike's like, that was my idea. Like, you're fine. Because they were
going
to do a standard match, and Spike's like, no, like, fuck me up. Make this a little memorable. Yeah. Like, don't just squash me for nothing.
Make this fun.
It was kind of weird writing Dudley for him in my notes.
Why?
Because I just, you know, I write Dudley, I think of Devon or Bubba. Ray, yeah. It's like, yeah, he is the only Dudley in ECW right now, so.
I would just call him Spike. I did just call him Spike.
By the match, De Niro hits a pump handle neck breaker and Hamrick hits an assisted guillotine leg drop. Doring hits a G-spot sweep on Hamrick and tags into Roadkill, who cleans house and hits a dirt road slam.
A dirt road slam. It's a good name.
Just to note, when he's cleaning house, it would have to be with a broom as opposed to a vacuum.
Why?
Because he's Amish.
Ah, of course. You love Roadkill.
I do love Roadkill. I've been open about this. Roadkill is hit by a chair and makes the hot tag to Spike, who gets his leg clipped pretty early. Little Spike Dudley makes Hot Commodity miss dives and goes for an acid drop, but it's countered into a powerbomb. Roadkill hits a double clothesline, and then Doring hits a franchiser on Elektra, who's come in the ring.
Sure.
And, man, watching somebody else do that move, still a shit move.
It is. It's quite bad.
On the way out, Roadkill slaps her ass, too. We're like, Roadkill and Spike hit an assisted acid drop 3D-style move for the win. So, Faces win.
Yay! This was also really fun. This was also just like, the thing that's fun about watching ECW right now is that there's no stakes, at least not for us. So we can just watch and enjoy.
We can.
This is just fun.
Yeah, my issue with some of these matches, and it's a personal issue, is if I don't already have my, all right, I'm into you. I'm like, you're working uphill and Hot Commodity do not have the skills to... I'm like, uphill, I'm pretty neutral and I'm just like, yeah, you're fine. Like,
yeah.
They're nothing special, and that's why you don't get signed anywhere.
I mean, yeah, but it was still like a fun match, like regardless of who was in the ring. Like, I don't really care about these guys, but they still put on a good show.
It doesn't help the commentary is not doing a good job explaining any stories coming in. So,
and obviously, there are no packages.
Yeah, every match just feels like, well, these guys are doing stuff. But technically, if you count Spike being added, we are three matches in, and every single one is an element of impromptu. So it's like, yeah. And technically the next match has an impromptu stipulation. So we're really just doing this shit on the fly. But before that match, we get a Rhino promo.
Ugh, I don't like this promo.
He's shouting to New Jack and says that New Jack will have to like wrestle him as opposed to brawl. What happens in their match.
No, not at all. I understand the style of promo that ECW does, where it's like close up, screaming in your face. I don't like it. It's not my vibe.
It's a very Rhino style, too. Yeah. He also has an elaborate plan that is going to involve New Jack shitting his own face out.
Yeah, think about that for a second.
Yeah, it's a very elaborate plan.
It includes Rhino ripping New Jack's face off, feeding it to New Jack, and then New Jack, you know, digesting it and shitting it out. Very, very involved.
Yeah, we'll hear from New Jack after the next match, but match number four, it is Chris Chetty with Lou E. Dangerously versus Nova. And every time you see Nova, you're like, what a fucking nerd.
Yeah, never forget that Nova's a dweeb.
So Louie cuts a heel promo in Chicago. He's like, we can kick everyone's ass. Sure. Chetty says his company isn't big enough for the both of them and then pitches a loser leaves ECW match. Louie Dangerously is like, what the fuck? No.
Don't.
And Chris Chetty's like, nope, no, we're doing this. So yeah, we now have a stipulation for this match. Nova comes out in black Spider-Man gear. Apologies to those who read Spider-Man comics and know a more direct name for this. Nova quickly sends Chetty to the floor, but misses a dive into him. Nova throws Chetty around ringside, and Chetty is bleeding, like, almost immediately.
Yeah.
Chetty counters a kryptonite crunch and fights out of a cross-faced chicken wing with help from Dangerously. Chetty hits a super kick, works over Nova in the corner. Nova slowly throws Chetty into a chair in the corner and then grabs the chair for himself. Louis comes in, low blows Nova, and Chetty hits like a scissor kick Famouser on Nova. I don't know what he was going for there.
I don't either.
Chetty hits a big sidekick, and Nova is now also bleeding. Chetty hits the delayed suplex and hits Novocaine, but Nova kicks out. Nova hits a diving sidekick, and both men seem spent for, like, not that long a match.
Yeah, this is the first match. Like, the first two, I was like, ooh, I'm into this. This is the first one, I'm like, ugh.
This match, I think I've cited this before, and I always feel a little bad. There is a match on a WrestleMania pre-show between Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali, but it's a Cruiserweight title WrestleMania pre-show match, and they have this big dramatic, like, heart, soul, stop. This is enough.
What?
It's like, yeah, because they were the heart and soul of the Cruiserweight division. Yeah. It's like, guys, I know what you're going for, and this means a lot to you, but it's just,
it doesn't mean a lot to anybody
It's just
else.
It's not that vibe.
It's not that deep.
Nova fights to hit a 10-punch spot until a chair shot, but Nova powers up, hits a flurry of offense in the corner, and then an enziguri. Nova hits a pedigree Famouser. I'm like, just referencing DX at this point, guys.
Yeah, really. Does he think this is like his audition?
But dangerously, blatantly puts Chetty's legs on the rope. It's like,
it was pretty blatant, and the ref was right there.
Look, the rules in ECW, I don't...
Would you say they're lax?
That's the thing. They're so lax, I don't know why they're enforced.
They're pretty lax rules. They're pretty lax.
That's different. Matches don't end in DQ in ECW.
That's true.
They do occasionally in WCW, and that's what pisses me off, that you have the illusion of rules. And like here, it's like, all right, what...
It's ECW.
What matters?
Yeah.
Nova takes out dangerously, and he and Chetty counterpins until a third-degree pile driver attempt, and dangerously breaks it up with a cell phone shot. Like, the big old-school phone.
Oh, I missed that.
Lot of sloppiness happens on the top rope, and including taking out dangerously again, and then Nova hits a top rope kryptonite crunch for the win. And, like, yeah, this match wasn't bad. It was not the emotional experience they wanted it to be.
Yeah, they thought a lot more of this than anybody else did, I feel.
Yeah.
It was entirely fine. The ending was a little weird and sloppy, but it was overall fine. But, like... Now Chris Chetty has to leave the company.
Yeah. I don't know what Chris Chetty goes on to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, for like a fourth match on the card and like, again, commentary doesn't really say why these guys have this issue. Like,
no.
I know they used to be a team, but I got no context for what's going on.
Nope.
And that is a failing on them.
Yes, definitely. Like we said, like, goes back to early days of WCW where I'm like, I would love a package. I would love to know what the deal is here.
Best I can do is Lex Luger.
Right. I get it because he's the package, and that was really funny.
I'm like, he's the total package.
No. I do like the name of the move, the Kryptonite Crunch, though.
Yeah,
but... I like it. For, like,
if you look at enough fandom stuff, you're going to hit gold on something.
But he doesn't lean fully into the superhero at all. One of his things is the Novocaine. That's a drug. That's not superhero.
Yeah. The fact that he's Nova, it's like, it's just obscure enough to where it flew under the radar.
Yeah. No, I wish I didn't know who fucking Nova was.
Let's go backstage. New Jack is behind a cage and says Rhino has no backup tonight and Rhino should have killed him. And then pulls out like a scythe-looking fucking weapon.
Yeah. I don't really know how to describe it other than like a scythe. It's like a curved blade on a PVC pipe. I don't even know what that was. But he kind of goes into this like, I don't really give a fuck about the belt. I want to kill you.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to pawn the title. I'm going to like go get, you know, I'm going to start my own company with blackjack and hookers, you know?
Like, yeah. It's like, I don't care about this. I'm going to use the winnings as money.
He just wants to staple Rhino.
Yep. So in this promo, I'm like, holy fuck, this is going to be a hell of a match. I'm
did
scared.
You?
I mean, I did. I was like, it's New Jack. I have very like... I'm very on edge when it comes to New Jack matches, where like something stupid's gonna happen and I'm gonna cringe and not be able to look at it. That fucking staple gun, man, I can't watch it. So with the fucking scythe coming out, I'm like, I'm gonna be cringing this entire match. I don't know about this one. We'll see what happens when we get to the match. Because it's not next.
No, we get Joey Styles and Cyrus talking for a second and the ring announcer just starts going and...
He like screams over them. Who is this ring announcer?
I forget his name, but he is the usual guy. Oh, it's Steven DeAngelis.
Sure.
He didn't seem all that out of place to me, but yeah, it was just like...
His look was out of place.
Yeah, a little bit here. But he's introducing our next match, which is DaBaldi's versus... We gave them a fun team name last time. I forgot what it was, but it was basically Willie and Balls.
Oh, yes, we did give them a name. Fuck.
But yeah, it's Balls Mahoney and Chili Willy in a flaming tables match.
Hell yeah.
The way you win is by putting your opponent through a flaming table.
Hell yeah.
Which I really thought, admittedly, they were going to do more with, where it's like, oh, you put him through a table, but it wasn't on fire.
Or they like, lit a table on fire, but someone it wasn't puts it on out. Fire. Yeah.
It's like, no.
Oh my God.
There is literally a single table spot in this match.
But, like, I love the idea of a flaming tables match. Like, I think that's amazing.
What I don't love is on the network, Balls' theme is dubbed. And it was like, oh, fucker. Because, like, see them singing along. And it's
Balls of them all. Who's got big balls? We'll never know.
Everyone brawls to start. Chili Willy is the only one not wearing a shirt. So I'm like, all right, so you're definitely not going to the table then.
Commentary even notes that. Like, who comes to a flaming tables match without wearing clothing? Valid. Valid concern.
Balls hits two massive chair shots and they go for a table early. We get a random show your tits chant.
For a woman that we don't ever see.
Balls vaults Tony DeVito into the crowd, who is supposed to land on the combination of Angel and Chili Willy. Completely misses them, goes off to the side, lands in the fans.
Sure.
And then everyone brawls in the crowd and this match falls off a fucking cliff.
I hate a walk and brawl in general. I hate a walk and brawl through the audience. And I hate it more when it's in a company that doesn't have the budget to be following them through the crowd. So it's just an expansive crowd shot with like a kind of a spotlight, but like not really. So we can't see anything that's happening.
Set to chants of, we can't see shit.
Were they doing that?
Yeah.
I didn't hear the chant.
Yes. In this one, it makes sense because there is no screen. It's just like you're in a mob of people. And I couldn't fucking see. Like, the camera was like, here they are. To the point where there was a moment where I thought someone showed their boobs because there was a weird random pop. And then I'm like, oh, they're zooming in on this random woman. And you're like, no, Balls Mahoney's behind her. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. The camera work sucks. The lighting sucks. Like, a crowd brawl is so annoying. Like, it's not a bad idea on paper, but it's very annoying when you can't execute it properly.
So there's a big tapestry of November to Remember, like, on the hard cam. Hanging from like an elevated crowd position, and they brawl up to that, and I go, "What the fuck's gonna happen here?" Like, nothing. They just brawl past it.
Walking by it.
Then we get the big pop at ECW chants for like seemingly no reason, but we're only focusing on Angel and Chili Willy. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on the other side.
And the whole point of this match is flaming tables. And guess what? There's no tables.
By the way, remember how I was saying, "Oh, everything feels the same as last pay per view." These teams fought each other last pay per view, and we had the same complaint that we at least saw half the match.
Yeah.
I think it was the same duos, too.
And they fucking audience brawled in that one, too. They still did a walk and brawl. Like, do these four not feel confident with their in-ring work, so they have to just, like, fudge it?
Balls Mahoney should feel confident, but
Balls Mahoney's great.
Yeah. Willy and Angel get back to the ramp, and Willy hits a suplex. Someone gives Angel a chair and hits a massive chair shot, which is probably better because it's, like, a soft plastic as opposed to
Yeah, but it was hard.
Balls and DeVito reappear, and both are bleeding. We're like, cool. We didn't get a We Want Tables chant. I'm like, I don't blame you.
No, in this sense, it is correct. Yes, you should be chanting for tables. In like a regular ass match, maybe you don't cheer for tables. But in a match where it is literally all about putting a fucking table on fire, where are my tables?
Yeah, it'd be like 30 seconds into Roxanne Perez versus Rhea Ripley. We want tables. Like, it's a one-on-one match.
It's not a tables match, motherfucker.
Angel powerbombs Willy onto two chairs and Balls is thrown back in the ring to get double teamed. Balls fights them off and hits a DDT but ends up eating a dropkick. Balls crotches DeVito and manages to hit a top rope nutcracker sweep, which took some doing to get set up for.
Yeah, it was a little sloppy getting there, but they got there.
Chili Willy has a chair. So Angel, like, jumps into Balls. And it was like a weird thing of, like, you meant to be cowering, or are you just telegraphing the spot that much?
I think it was telegraphing, because the way that it was done, we backed it up and watched again, because it was supposed to be like he turns to retreat and Balls catches him, I guess, but it was literally like he jumped into Balls' arms.
Yeah. Balls hits a nutcracker sweet. Balls and Willy then then douse the table with lighter fluid.
You're saying a Willy doused something?
Well, as you know, Emily, lighter fluid is stored in the balls. They light the table on fire, and Balls hits a scary powerbomb to Angel, who his fucking skull catches on fire at one point.
But, oh my God, yes.
And
yes,
Balls
sorry.
And Willy win.
So, yes, they win. Great. The shot of the table catching on fire, that is like my favorite thing in hardcore wrestling. Just the like the look of the fire engulfing the table. Oh my god, it's like, I don't know how to describe it other than like pornographic. It is so amazing. It's so beautiful.
You know what it is? It's peak lizard brain. You're like, yee.
Yes, it's like
no, you know, it's,
fire.
No, it's peak moth brain.
Ooh, it is. It is moth brain. But I feel the same way with espresso going into milk. I have the exact same reaction in my little lizard brain where I'm like, it's pretty. It's all like the espresso kind of like falling into the milk, like cascading down the side. I'm just like, it's beautiful. The flame taking over the table, cascading down the table, is like, it's beautiful. I don't know. It's just mesmerizing. And I love it so fucking much.
We only have limited Ric Flair matches left, but if he blades, I need you to describe his blade job as it happens as some espresso experience.
Okay. I get very passionate talking about espresso, okay?
Joey Styles calls for replay of the finish, but then we just get a montage of the whole match. We do actually get like multiple replays of the fire.
Oh, it's beautiful. Fucking beautiful.
Well, remember that for later, because we want to see this one thing, and we see it a bunch.
So they do have the capability of almost instant replay.
Overall, this match, like, the finish was cool, and like they got there once they came back to the ring. But it's just so much, like, don't do this match like this if you don't have the production for it.
Yeah, no, 100% I agree.
For a while, it was just big wide shot, and they eventually cut to somebody, like, over there who's, like, in the crowd. You see a guy's arm. I don't know what was up with the crowd miking, too, but, like, we would get the big, we want tables, and then you just hear one guy, we want tables.
There was like, one guy who found the hot mic.
Yeah, but, yeah, this match was disappointing. But the finish might have saved it from getting worst bit.
Yes, I think I agree with that. It's definitely not best bit, but it's not worst bit.
Yeah. Let's move on to, based on the backstage notes, what is clearly a pre-tape.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. which, certain questions are kind of raised about that with this, but let's get through this promo and then we'll talk about it. Because backstage, the Sinister Minister is just with Tajiri, as opposed to him and Mikey Whipwreck for, like, all right, he's just with the one.
Yeah.
Tajiri is holding two potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Conan would love to peel those potatoes.
I was like, potatoes, okay, I can't think of anything culturally unsensitive about this.
I don't think so, yeah.
But yeah, the Minister starts talking about all the other matches, and I'm like, what about yours?
Right.
And then they get there eventually and like, all right, it's almost Thanksgiving. Tajiri, what are you thankful for?
And he just holds up the potatoes.
Yeah, and speaks Japanese. And James Mitchell is like, ah, yes, that Francine is pretty great, isn't she?
So I thought that Tajiri was thankful for potatoes. Are we thankful for boobs?
Emily, it's a bit.
I don't speak Japanese, but for this instance, I would love to have been able to understand what Tajiri was saying.
Yeah, and then we pull out to reveal Mikey Whipwreck hogtied with an apple in his mouth next to, like, a row of fire. And I'm like, what the fuck was this
promo?
He's
about to be roasted as the Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah, and then they leave that, and Joey Styles is like, the FBI cut off his fingers. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
So I forgot that Tajiri was teaming up with Mikey Whipwreck for this match. I thought it was, maybe I was just having a bad time listening to this episode. I thought it was Tajiri and Jerry Flynn.
Jerry Flynn is not in this company.
God, Jerry Lynn. God damn it. I thought it was Tajiri and Jerry Lynn.
No,
so
Jerry
when they
Lynn
pulled
is
out
notably
to Mikey Whipwreck,
event.
It was like, oh, is this them? Like, oh, we kidnapped the opponent.
Yeah, the fact that he's tied like that, I'm like,
doesn't make
why?
Any sense.
Yeah. It was a weird choice, but I think it's meant to be like Satanists. They're into weird shit.
Sure. But he didn't look like he was into it. He looked like he was being held against his will.
I don't know, man. Let's go to Rhino versus New Jack, okay?
Oh, goody. Let's go.
Oh, and this is for the television title.
Yay.
And New Jack comes out with a pacifier in his mouth for
weird.
Some reason with his cart full of weapons. And I'll go through it in little detail, but the short version of this match is New Jack uses weapons until Rhino decides, all right, time for me to win.
Right.
New Jack hits a trash can lid shot and then a football helmet shot. A Chicago Bears football helmet, by the way. So, Chicago.
Cool. We got the right team. All right.
New Jack then hits a trash can shot, followed by a pool cue shot. New Jack then chokes Rhino with a chain until just a punch to the face. Like,
sure.
Nope, I'm done. New Jack then uses a street sign and keeps working over Rhino at ringside, including a diving sign shot.
But what does the sign say, though?
It says, left turn ahead, and Joey Styles points out that before he uses it, New Jack does indeed point. To the left.
Of course. It's a fun little nod.
New Jack then uses a beer as a weapon and does not drink any before using it.
No, he takes it from a person. I think if that was me in the crowd that he took my beer from, I think I'd be a little bit more annoyed that he didn't take a sip.
Yeah, because we didn't note it, but like Ballas Mahoney during his entrance grabbed a beer and was like, "Hey!"
And he drank it.
Yeah. Don't worry, Sandman will even it out later. Rhino hits a sign shot in the ring and then sets up a table in the corner. New Jack puts a cookie sheet on Rhino's balls and then grabs a pool cue to hit the cookie sheet.
Balls, balls, balls.
Rhino hits a trash can shot in a clothesline. New Jack hits a trash can shot in the corner. And then we did not note enough that like, oh yeah, we're watching on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
So when New Jack's matches happen, Natural Born Killers is playing.
Right.
Not on the fucking network /Peacock/ probably Netflix. It's some very siren heavy song, and it was grating on me at this point to where I like paused and I'm like, I need a break.
I guess I'm getting a lot better at tuning shit out, because I didn't even notice how annoying the song was until you chose to stop, and then when we came back, that's all I could hear.
I don't mind it when it's the real song, and I did look to see, I'm like, the other version was the real song. No. Okay, so we didn't miss out if I were like, oh, I went back.
Right.
Yeah, this is just, it's siren heavy in the song, and there is a looping police siren in the song too.
Because
and
the match goes for 8 minutes. Yeah, the song probably plays like 3 times. Yeah, no, grating is the right word.
Rhino pulls the ref in the way of an attack, and then New Jack grabs the staple gun. We get what I think is meant to be a heel ref comes in.
Oh, you think so? I didn't think so. I thought it was just another ref.
I don't know. He was there so quick, but he comes in and then gets fucking stapled in the face. Like, oh, cool. And then just ragdolls.
So yeah, the another ref comes in and he kind of tries to stop New Jack from like killing Rhino here with the fucking staple gun. And New Jack is like, get out of my way. And then, you know, New Jack is like, get out of my way. Here's a fucking staple to the face. He sells it like crazy. Like, yeah. A staple gun to the face can't feel good, but he sells it like crazy.
Yeah, you know what it is? I'm like, oh, it's a heel ref because he's trying to save Rhino from getting stapled in the face.
No, I really don't think...
But when I say that out loud, I'm like, are you just a reasonable human?
I don't think this is meant to be a heel ref or any kind of, like, heel ref, face ref. It was just a referee.
But yeah, he just ragdolls while getting beat down because he gets stapled and then New Jack hits him a few times and he keeps flailing.
Well, because he got fucking stapled in the face. You would flail too if you got stapled in the face.
Rhino hits a scoop slam, goes for a diving splash, but New Jack moves. New Jack then grabs his guitar and Jeff Jarrett's Rhino, who just no-sells it, gets up and he picks up New Jack and then runs him into the table and they're like, the gore. And I'm like,
that wasn't a gore.
No, it's a Goldberg 2017 spear where it's like,
it wasn't I've
picked
spear.
You up, so yeah. It's a spear.
Like, it wasn't a spear.
Yeah, wasn't good. And that gets Rhino the win. But I was like, oh, that was a flat finish to a flat match that actively just like annoyed me and frustrated me because of the music.
I can tell that you didn't like it because you didn't take very many notes on this match.
I mean, it was also just the first 80% is New Jack hits weapon shots.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, this is the match I was talking about before where I was like, I was worried about this match because it's New Jack. And I just associate New Jack with matches that make me cringe or I have to watch through my fingers. And the way he was talking in his promos prior to this match, I was like, oh, good, it's another fucking one of those. I think that, like, I can appreciate matches like that for what they are. This, I was disappointed because I was bored. I was disappointed that it wasn't that, in a way.
It's telling that you hated a New Jack match for not the normal reasons.
Yeah. I'm supposed to hate it for how horrific it is, not for how boring it is.
Yeah, this was just not a good match. I'm like, cool, now I have a headache.
Yeah. I genuinely did not even notice the music until you paused it, because I'm the one that's usually, like, tuned into sounds like that. Like, I get frustrated by music looping all the time or, you know, annoying bits in songs. The fact that you noticed it before I did, that says a lot.
Now, that said, because Sabu is gone and no Rob Van Dam, I'm like, there's no Bill Alfonso
no
on this
Bill
show.
No Bill Alfonso! Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I don't
think
we appreciated that enough at the
show.
Oh,
bless him. Those fucking whistles. I feel like in the past, I feel like you would have been able to get through those matches with the whistles. I could not.
Yeah.
You had a little bit more patience than I did. A little bit.
Let's go backstage. Steve Corino sneaks into Sandman's dressing room, drinks his beer. Jack Victory fails to guard the door, and Sandman and Steve Corino brawl.
I think this was supposed to be funny. I think Jack Victory was like, oh, I'm blocking the door, but he was not, he was like blocking a closet door or something.
It was, I think they're just meaning to set up that Steve Corino does not need his two lackeys.
I think it was setting up that Jack Victory's an idiot.
Well, yes, I think that's been kind of established.
That's the same, yeah.
He's the fucking Brian Knobs of ECW, is the best way I can describe Jack Victory.
Yeah.
Joey Styles and Cyrus talk about our upcoming matches, and this is where we learn the Double Jeopardy match is apparently two matches happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the fuck?
Not two different rings. Not like World War III kind of vibes.
Or War Games.
Or War Games or anything like that. It is four people in the same ring fighting each other, but not together.
We'll talk about it at the main event.
Yeah. They also don't really fully grasp it until the main event either.
Our penultimate match is for the ECW Tag Team titles. It's the FBI with Big Sal Graziano versus the Unholy Alliance without the Sinister Minister, because he is probably at the hospital.
Yeah. This is when we were like, oh, this is definitely a pre-tape, that was definitely a pre-tape because he's not here.
I say that. There's no way these fuckers have insurance.
Oh, God, no.
They're not
he
the
might
hospital.
Be a patient first. Or whatever, there was like a patient first like thing in the year 2000.
Who on the ECW roster took a health class? They're in their locker room.
Fuck it. Even like a home ec class. Can you sew up my finger?
This is where Joey reiterates that like the FBI apparently took off his finger because, you know, mob stuff.
Sure.
And somehow this leads to him putting over that Mikey Whipwreck once beat Steve Austin to retain the ECW title.
And he repeats that like, yeah, you heard that right. He beat Steve Austin. Like, what?
Like 6 years ago?
What?
Like, it is a true thing, but it's sure. Like, So Whipwreck and Tony Mamaluke start with some mat and chain wrestling. I had to look this up. I thought it was the fact, but apparently Tony Mamaluke, aka Tony Marinara.
Tony Marinara.
He never actually wrestled in WCW. He was
signed.
That
makes sense. He was a manager.
But still, like, he has wrestling ability. He's good in this match.
You're telling me that WCW didn't use somebody to their full potential?
I'm surprised.
That's crazy.
There was never, like, a six-man tag or something.
Oh, you skirted past it when they were announcing each other in the ring.
Sorry. I forgot about this.
I didn't take the exact number, but he weighed in at, 5,000 liquid ounces.
Which would be better if he was Tony Marinara and not Tony Mamaluke.
But, it just sounds more impressive. He's 5,000 fluid ounces.
I want to know what that is for Sal.
Oh, God. Sal's a big guy, man.
Yeah.
I forget how big Sal is.
Sal came out and I went, you're telling me this guy's dead?
I mean, maybe he helped himself. It's possible.
Holy shit, he's still alive.
Hey, see?
Oh, my God. Good on you, Sal.
Good job.
Holy
God. He got healthy. He had his come to Jesus moment. It was like, oh, shit, I'm going to die. There you go. Maybe. I'm assuming. I'm writing a whole narrative.
Yeah. Every photo of this guy is him massive. So, anyway, Whipwreck and Mamaluke try like a handful of sloppy pin attempts back and forth. I'm like, oh, you are not crisp on this. Until Whipwreck hits a tilt-a-whirl slam on both the FBI. Tajiri tags in, and fuck me, Tajiri is over with this crowd.
As he should
I mean,
be.
Us too, but...
I fucking love Tajiri.
Yeah.
He should be over.
He tagged in, and there was a notable pop.
He should get that pop. Fuck yeah, Tajiri.
Like, I like Mikey Whipwreck, but why the fuck are you tagging Tajiri with him at this point?
Yeah, Mikey Whipwreck was one of your boys for a second there.
Oh, I like him. He just... There's a ceiling on him.
Yeah.
And I think Tajiri's ceiling is higher, and they never allowed him to reach that.
True. That is fair. Even in WWE, like, I don't know that Tajiri ever got his full comeuppance.
Like the timeline didn't work out, but goddamn, I want to see Tajiri versus Mike Awesome. Like, no, ECW Mike Awesome. I'm like, give me that.
You gotta really specify that.
Yeah. Give me Tajiri.
Tajiri versus Crowbar? Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Even him versus Kenyon, which might have happened.
Ooh, that might happen.
That might happen. We gotta see that happen or not. Anyway, Tajiri tags in, and the Unholy Alliance hit double team moves on Tony Mamaluke. So Guido then tags in, and then he and Tajiri, like, have a stare down, and the crowd pops on it, because... They have a whole, like, elaborate history. Like,
wouldn't it be nice to have known that?
I mean, we've kind of seen that.
Have we?
They mention it a little on commentary, but, like, I feel like in the history of us watching ECW pay-per-views, These two are almost always in the same fucking match.
Really?
And it's usually our best bit.
Well.
Yeah.
This is a good bit.
They do some quick chain wrestling and mat wrestling, and, you know, they stand off. Tajiri offers a handshake and then just fucking kicks Tony Mamaluke, and I'm like, yeah.
My boy.
He's sneaky.
He's so sneaky.
The Unholy Alliance fuck up a double team move, so Whipwreck hits a guillotine leg drop, and then they hit a double drop kick. Like, they put a chair to, like, TP on little Guido's head, and then both drop kick aside, and I'm like, how the fuck do you take that safely?
Yeah. Honestly, it doesn't even matter how, because, like, we've seen this with, like, the trash can shots in WCW, where, you know, the trash can is barely over his head, but it looks like he gets kicked. There's no way to do that with the chairs.
Well, I think of, like, the concerto of Edge and Christian.
Yeah.
Where you hit the edges and it's fine.
But this is not that choreographed.
Here, I'm like, no, you're kicking the foldable part, but
yeah,
maybe you're kicking it the other way so it doesn't quite fold. I don't know.
No,
this just looked rough.
There was no amount of head that could have been between those two seats that was not going to be painful.
Granted, the answer may be that's the thing. It's a shoot.
Could be. Yeah. It is ECW.
Tony Mamaluke then just gets fucking hard dropped onto the barricade. I'm like, oh my god, guys.
Yeah, they're fucking each other up here.
In a convoluted spot, Mikey Whipwreck hits a double super whipper snapper on the FBI.
What?
I mean, it's a double stunner from like the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
And Whipwreck then goes down in a weird thing of like, oh, he hurt his shoulder on the move.
It looked like he jammed his shoulder, like maybe dislocated it. I don't know. But he's holding his shoulder and like he's rolling to the edge of the ring. Like,
yeah.
I can't tell, honestly, even now, if this was real or fake.
It seems to be a work based on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, based on
it makes sense for what happens next. But like he sold that really, really well.
Yeah. He sells it well. And also like the whole production does because.
Yeah. Tajiri.
The
and
match comes to a halt.
Exactly.
And like and they go to a spot like Sal goes to like break up the pin. Whipwreck moves and Sal crashes into Tony Marinara. And then Whipwreck like rolls the apron of like, I'm fucked up. And like the ref comes over to.
Yeah.
Stop everything. The one element that didn't pass the like sniff test for me was the fact that he got stretchered out in a neck brace.
Why?
It seemed like he hurt his shoulder.
Well, if they jammed his shoulder, he might have like.
But he got for that. He got stretchered out.
Well,
I don't know. It just seemed weird to me.
If he jammed his shoulder, he may have compacted some vertebrae in his neck, which makes it a neck injury. And if you move your spine during a neck injury, you can make it worse. So, like, to me, that makes sense. If they think it might have been his neck, yes, he needed to be stretchered out.
Well, the fact that he was moving freely to go get the pin and then all of a sudden...
Adrenaline.
I think that was the thing of... I think if he just gotten helped out, it would have been fine.
I think that what they did was correct. For the sell that they were trying to do, I get it.
My point is they milked this for a while. And I feel like you could have just had him get helped out by a ref.
If it's his neck, no.
I don't know.
If they're trying to sell his neck, that wouldn't pass the sniff test for me.
Yeah, it just seemed like a lot. And then Tajiri just goes and brawls with the FBI. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess match is still going.
And even that kind of made sense for me, too, if this was a shoot. Because, like... Just keep going. Like, yeah, Tajiri, you're just going to do both of our spots.
Yeah, I figure, like, all right, this is a shoot. It's like, all right, come in, just, like, do an end of the match. Ironically, we referenced Seth Rollins earlier. It's like, yeah, have LA Knight hit the finish, and we're going home. Like,
yeah.
No, this is, like, we got a bunch of spots, because as Whipwreck is getting stretchered out, we get a super crazy chant, and I'm like, seems like some people know something
right.
That we don't. Tajiri hits fast strikes, but is quickly put in a camel clutch and Sicilian crab combo.
I like the name of the Sicilian crab.
Oh,
it's
great.
It also looked really cool.
And then we get some music hitting, and no one reacts because no one seems to know what the song is. And then Super Crazy comes out, and everyone pops.
Who'd have thunk it?
And yeah, Super Crazy flips into the ring, takes out the FBI, hits a wasteland, and then a trio of dives from the corner. And Tajiri and Crazy hit a pop-up facebuster, and... Crazy sets up Tony Mamaluke for a corner baseball slide. Guido throws a chair into the ring, but he throws it into the ring before he comes in, so they just use the chair on him as he's getting in. And, yeah, it's just kind of accepted that Super Crazy is now subbing in for Mikey Whipwreck.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. I don't necessarily know why it was Super Crazy, but, like, I'm not mad.
Yeah, because even commentary is like, they have a bit of a history, but they just both hate Little Guido. It seems to be the common factor.
I mean, common enemy. We'll take it.
Yeah, this is also...
I'm not looking for problems in this match. I enjoyed this a lot. So, I don't really give a fuck how we got to where we got. I'm happy we got there.
I'm not either. It does flow into the weird, what the fuck are the rules in ECW? Because,
they're lax. The fact that
he does tag in, because I'm like, you don't need to, because you just come in and attack people, and then you get on the apron. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
That's my one complaint with ECW, is that, the weird, we have to enforce this rule. I'm like, why? Why is this?
What rules are they? What are you saying that they're enforcing? Because I don't feel like they're super tags. Enforcing anything. Not really.
But there's they're not. But then it's like, well, I got to get on the apron now. It's like, why?
Well, because that's just how you wrestle. I don't know. I don't necessarily think that is them super enforcing tagging. I think that is just wrestling, you know, the agreed upon culture of wrestling.
Yes. But that's not
the rules. I don't know.
That's the weird element of. They don't come in and break up pins because normally you get DQ'd if you do that. It's just, it's a weird element of, it's not the most distracting, but if you put a little bit of thought into it, you're like, oh yeah, why can they do this, not that? I don't know. But
it doesn't bother me. I mean,
it's not ECW, a hindrance to me. I think that's the difference.
ECW is not supposed to be playing by the rules.
And that's why I don't think it's a hindrance. It's just a weird note for me. As compared to WCW, where they will do DQs and be like, why is this allowed? And like, well, I don't know, man. Because, yeah, I had almost no issue with him coming in until he started waiting for the tag. And I'm like, that's kind of weird, but whatever. Going back, Tajiri drop kicks a chair into little Guido's face. Guido counters a wheelbarrow into an armbar at a nice, smooth pivot. I'm like, fuck yeah. I'm sad Little Guido becomes Nunzio, becomes a joke, because I'm like, he's so fucking good.
Whatever happens to Super Crazy? Where does he go?
He becomes part of the Mexicals with Psychosis and, for a little bit, Juventud.
Great. I really liked Super Crazy in this match. He was great.
I think we will get him on One Night Stand.
Okay.
I think, in my brain, I think it's Tajiri, Guido, and Super Crazy.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm hoping it's that, because fuck me, that sounds good. Guido breaks that armbar and tags in Mameluke, who just keeps working over the arm. Guido hits a Sicilian slice, but Tajiri kicks out. Tajiri hits a double handspring elbow and then makes the hot tag to Super Crazy, who hits just a series of springboard attacks. It's
so good.
It's so quick and fast that I'm like, it's just going on.
There are so many springboard moves in this match, and it's so fun to watch because they're all good. They all land correctly where they're meant to, and they're so clean, and they look so good.
Crazy counters a Tony Mameluke Hurricane Rana spot to a Styles Clash kind of pose. And Tajiri comes in and just baseball slides Tony Mameluke in the face.
Get fucked.
I'm like, I'm definitely missing spots in this because it's quick.
There's so much happening.
Super Crazy dodges the throw into the corner by sliding out of the ring. Tony Mameluke follows and then Super Crazy slides back in. You know who's weirdly copied this spot? It was Baron Corbin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he would slide out of the ring on the Irish whip and then come back in and do a move.
Oh.
But Super Crazy hits a big spin kick. Super Crazy vaults Tony Mameluke into the crowd. He ends up coming back in, but then Big Sal attacks Super Crazy, dumps him into the crowd, and follows after him, which we only slightly see, because Tajiri and Guido seem to be stalling in the ring of just, various strikes of, nothing dramatic going on here. And, they are stalling, because we suddenly see Super Crazy. So we noted before, there is this big crowd, banner that is hanging from this, platform 15 feet in the air.
Yeah.
We just suddenly see Super Crazy is up there.
He's, on top of it.
Yeah. Sal is not. We don't know where the fuck Sal is.
We never see Sal.
Super Crazy then is just like, all right, fuck it, and hits a moonsault off the 15-foot-high stage. I think he hit Sal.
We never know. We don't see it.
We see Super Crazy alive later, so he's fine.
Oh, yeah. We see him jump, but we just don't see what he's jumping to.
Yeah, and we never see this again. But, hits this massive moonsault. We go back to the ring. Tajiri is locked in a tarantula. The FBI then hit a double-team bulldog unprettier. There's some name for little Guido hitting this. That's some Italian fucking thing. I was going to say the Pison plant, but I'm like, no, that's Vito.
That's Vito.
I don't know.
That's the Mamalukes.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. It's only Tony Mameluke.
Just one Mameluke here.
And the FBI get the win off that move. Post-match, Super Crazy comes in. He helps Tajiri up. They get a nice crowd response. And Joey Styles is like, can we get a replay of that dive?
Nope.
Nope. You get a replay of everything else in the match, but not the dive.
Something tells me that that was not a planned spot because they didn't have a camera up there. If it was a planned big spot, I feel like somebody would have been up there to catch it.
The problem is define planned. Planned by who? The wrestlers or production?
All of the above. Just somebody to tell the camera guys, be like, hey, I'm going up there.
I think it was planned with the wrestlers. I think no one bothered to tell production.
Yeah, I think that's where we get lost.
You don't do that spot on the fly.
No, I think, yeah. I think that, like, obviously Big Sal knew that was coming. But, like, no one told the camera guy to be ready to get that shot. I think if we'd gotten that, then obviously we would have gotten the replay.
This was a good match. The weird Mikey Whipwreck getting carted out and swapped for hurt the pacing. I think I would like this better. Just do a backstage segment, take him out, and then you sub in Super Crazy at the start.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, everyone here is good. And like, Tony Mamaluke, I don't have the strongest opinion of, but like, he can hold his own here. And like,
oh, yeah.
It's three incredibly talented guys and Tony Mamaluke who, like, that sounds like too insulting to him.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, like, look, he's not notably talented like that, but he's not a liability.
Definitely
like,
not.
Picture Sal being the fourth in this match opposed to him. Like,
I think it's a good thing that Sal kind of disappeared. But no, this was a fun match. I think that it was good that, like, FBI kind of retained, but I could have seen Super Crazy getting the win.
Yeah.
Him into Tajiri.
I was wondering, I'm like, so who's the tag champions if Tajiri's team wins?
No, this was fun. This was a good match. It was exhausting to watch.
Yeah, I don't think it's coincidence that we like this match and Tajiri, Little Guido, Super Crazy usually end up in or around our best bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I just, again, another kind of impromptu match. Like, that's the story of this pay-per-view.
Is this impromptu?
The fact that Super Crazy is suddenly becomes part of the match is impromptu.
I guess, yeah. I mean, the match itself is not impromptu.
No, but the surprise change is.
Fair.
Which, yeah, I think we noted recently that they squared away the visa issues. I think that's why it wasn't around.
Right.
But yeah, I will happily watch most combinations of any of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of things I'll gladly watch.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, it's Jasmine St. Clair in the shower.
No.
I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, she's promoting ECW.com saying there's like more videos of her in the shower. Is ECW.com like turning into a porn site? Is that what they're trying to do?
My gut instinct is they are advertising the way that every 2000s comedy advertised its unrated Blu-ray.
Oh.
Because you don't rate something for public release like that. You only rate it for theatrical release.
Yeah.
So, oh, it's unrated. Who knows what's going to happen? And it's like, there's maybe one shot of boobs. Probably not. But you bought it, you fucking idiot. Well, we do also get Blue Meanie popping in because that's her husband.
Sure, but he doesn't say anything.
No, he's just here. He looks fucking trim, admittedly.
Does he?
Compared to fucking 99 Blue Meanie. That
I don't know him well enough.
Him in 98, 99, he's big. And he looks fucking good here. Like,
he does.
Credit
he looks
to
thin.
Him. Yeah.
But he looks fine, yeah.
Yeah, shame how the marriage goes, but.
Yeah, well. But this whole thing obviously works very well on Cyrus. So when they go back up to commentary, Cyrus is just like hypnotized, kind of.
Yeah, he's like covering his crotch with like notes. He's like, all right, waist up.
Joey Styles is like, something pop up for you over there?
It's just a series of boner jokes.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you can go look at the computer. I can do the rest of this match by myself. And Cyrus is like, you mean it? Can I? Yeah. He doesn't leave. It would have been funnier if he like went for a second and then came back. But the something pop up for you there while he's like, waist up, man, waist up.
Yeah, I think the problem is they have to explain the convoluted main event. So Cyrus needs to be here.
True.
To have Joey have someone to bounce off of.
I guess,
because even fucking Joey is like, yeah, I know you need a couple PhDs to figure out what the fuck's going on in this match.
And I have two.
Yeah.
What do you think the PhDs are in, Nick? Is one that he has a pretty huge dick?
So our main event in Double Jeopardy rules, it's Jerry Lynn versus Justin Credible. And then additionally, it's Steve Corino versus the Sandman.
Two different matches.
Yes. So the rules of this match, I honestly forget if we've gone over this, is it is two singles matches happening in the same ring. You could, and it's a mini tournament where you can only eliminate the person you're facing.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it's down to two people, it becomes a one-on-one match, like tournament finale.
So what we're watching is technically three matches. So it's Sandman versus Steve Corino. And whoever wins between Sandman versus Steve Corino takes on the winner of Just Incredible and Jerry Lynn.
Yes.
So those two matches, the winners face each other in a third match.
Yes. And they know, like, all right, they can, like, hit each other. There's no penalty or anything, but, like, you know, you can't eliminate each other.
Yeah.
Admittedly, this does not come up.
No. This barely makes any difference in the match. This is just a tornado rules.
Because I was asking, like, all right, what happens if there's three people? Is just one person like, all right, you can just fuck around and whatever? It doesn't come up.
No, it doesn't matter.
So Jerry Lynn, Just Incredible, and Steve Corino come out, and we just start doing ring introductions.
Without Sandman.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we just got three out of the four, and we're like, yeah, that's fine.
Did you know Jerry Lynn getting booed during his introduction?
Did not at all.
I was like, is this a weird Chicago-Minneapolis thing, or...
Why would it be a Chicago-Minneapolis thing?
Vikings, Bears, sports.
Is he a Viking?
He's from Minnesota.
I don't think so. I think you're overthinking it.
Yeah, I don't know.
If he played for the Minnesota Vikings, then maybe, but like...
I also just wasn't sure if it was when they said from Minneapolis or St. Paul, where the fuck he's from. But during this, we do get We Want Sandman chants, because don't bother to explain to the audience where the fuck is Sandman. And commentary doesn't even really explain where the fuck he is.
Yeah, they don't say it to us. They don't say it to the audience. Like, it doesn't come up at all.
Well, they're like, oh, he's probably at some bar. And I'm like, we saw him backstage when he fought Steve Corino. Because Steve Corino drank his beer.
Right. Yeah, so he's here. We know he's here.
Unless you're like, and you should say this, like, oh, he went out to get more beer because Steve Corino drank it all.
Yeah, that would be a story.
Yeah. That would be a modicum of logic. So the bell rings, and yeah, we have a three-way dance right now, and Steve Corino's like, I'm not involved in your match, so you two just fight.
Yeah, I'll be over here, I guess.
He does eventually get involved attacking Jerry Lynn, and a bad call of, oh, the fourth person isn't here. Maybe it'll be a surprise. Based on the whole fucking night of impromptu matches and surprise returns, the crowd starts chanting for Rob Van Dam.
That's correct, yeah. That's probably valid.
Yeah, that's a reasonable expectation based on this show.
Especially because you said he hasn't, like, signed with another company. He's not gone. Yeah. He's
like, just that's why this is a bad idea to do it like this.
Especially when we've had so many returns in the show already, like Tommy Dreamer, super crazy. Like, it's very reasonable that Rob Van Dam could be back.
Jerry Lynn hits a double bulldog on Corino Incredible, who, like, actually are starting to fight each other, which makes some moments later where it's like, oh my god, they hit each other. It's like, they were already fighting.
Yeah.
Everyone throws punches and stomps, and it feels like they're stalling, and it's because they are!
Would you believe it? Sandman's music hits.
Yes, we got our network dub of Enter Sandman, which I always laugh is not the WWE Sandman theme.
Yeah,
I always find that interesting.
I don't know why they don't just use that.
I did glance ahead to our other recordings to see if we have the proper songs or not. And the Guiltiest Charge pay-per-view has the Motorhead version of Enter Sandman, which I'm like, I didn't know he used.
Well, he may not have, but isn't WWE kind of on good with Motorhead because of Triple H?
You know, that's a fair point, but...
There's a chance.
But they would have used it for everything, man.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's the only counter to that. Because I had the same thought, and I went, well, they would have used that for all of it. Credible and Corino are beating down Lynn as the music just keeps playing. Because we haven't seen Sandman yet.
Mm-mm.
And they just keep stalling. And like, oh, eventually he's here. But the crowd's mobbing him to where we can barely see him.
Yeah, because he's not coming down the ramp. He's coming through the crowd. He's kind of trying to be tracked by a spotlight. They can't find him. We can barely see him when the spotlight does finally find him. It's a mess.
We didn't get the one thing they didn't want to happen, and it's Credible Dex Corino, and Jerry Lynn is bleeding here for some reason. We missed whatever caused that. Jerry Lynn hits a tornado DDT on Corino. Credible is now bleeding from the mouth and will eventually start bleeding from the head.
Just Incredible bleeding from the mouth. He's just covered in blood.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got hit or what. Did he lose a tooth or something? Because, like, there's blood everywhere.
Well, he's bleeding from the head later, so it's like he does blade on top of that.
But he's, like, spitting blood, and it's just, ugh, everywhere.
Sandman finally hits the ring. Carino slaps the beer out of his hand. Sandman is now bleeding from, you know, his entrance.
Oh, yeah. We didn't mention how many beers Sandman drinks on his way into the ring.
He barely drinks any.
Well, he's pouring them into the mouths of the people in the crowd.
Yeah. That was the thing that was interesting. I'm like, oh, you're just like pouring this in other people's mouths.
Yeah. It's which, a generous beer.
Which I noted. I didn't see him ask, how old are you, once. I remember one of the recent shows. Like,
everybody here is like, yeah, you're 21. But good old Budweiser might as well be a sponsor of this episode.
He smashes everyone with a cane. Jerry Lynn hits a tornado DDT on Carino. Sandman hits a leg drop from the apron to Carino on the barricade, which I'm like, that's a cooler spot when Rob Van Dam does it.
Yeah.
Like, Van Dam will do a spin on that. Sandman's just like, ah. Which is just his vibe as wrestlers.
Yes.
Ah.
Correct.
Credible and Lynn trade strikes, and both are just covered in blood in the ring. Sandman sets up a ladder in the corner of the ring and whips Carino and Credible into it. He then goes through Jerry Lynn, and the ladder has shifted slightly, but Jerry Lynn's professional and takes it properly.
Oh my god, yeah. You were really nervous about that too, because like the ladder shifted while they were on their way to the other corner to throw it in. And you're like, oh my god, this is not going to end well. But it was fine.
I just needed him to see it. That was the only thing. Yeah. I didn't want the weird, shitty sidestep.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think it was going to hurt him. I thought it was going to just look like dog shit, but it didn't.
No, it really didn't. Like you said, professional.
Oh, but once he hits the ladder does then fall on Jerry Lynn. Yes. And like, that was like, oh, that didn't seem planned.
No.
Sandman rests the ladder on the ropes and suplexes Steve Carino onto it, which led to a discussion with us of how much that spot actually hurt. Because like, there's some good bounce, you know, like not a fun platform to land on, but like, I'd rather take it like that than get suplexed to one on the ground.
True. As long, I don't know. I don't think I would want anything to do with ladders. I think I would rather go through a table. I think I would rather maybe take like a cookie sheet.
I know Steve Richards does a podcast. I need him to do a tier list of like spots of like how much they hurt.
What sucks the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to see that.
Oh, yeah. Careful, if you say that too loudly, you know, fucking Maven will hear and put
it on his YouTube.
His fucking YouTube account. I'll be like, which spots hurt the worst? I've taken them all and I'm the best. Like, don't give him ideas. Or Ryback. Ryback, which weapon tastes the worst?
I've eaten them all. Sandman hits a slingshot somersault senton on a ladder on Carino, which, again, looked worse than fucking getting suplexed onto it. They then switch opponents, and Joey Styles is like, so per the rules, they can't fucking pin each other right now, so I don't know why they're doing this.
Because fuck you, Joey Styles, that's why.
Sandman hits a bulldog on the ladder, and Carino is now bleeding too, as like, they bring a guardrail in the ring, and then Sandman, Justin Credible, and Jerry Lynn brawl at ringside as Steve Carino sets up a fucking school play in the ring.
Yeah, he sets up four chairs, and it for a minute there, it really looks like, all right, guys, just get in the ring. We're just going to talk about our feelings real quick. We're going to have a feeling circle. But then they put the guardrail on top of the four chairs.
Yeah, it's meant to build like a bridge kind of thing.
Building a bridge of friendship. That's what we're talking about.
And Sandman suplexes Steve Carino onto the bridge. But somehow Sandman fucks himself up the worst out of this by hitting his head on one of the rungs.
I don't know how he did it, but God, that
I mean, I think it's just the bending. Because Carino is taking it flat and Sandman is still bending at the legs, so you can only take it so flat.
Yeah.
Credible and Lynn trade That's Incredible counters, but Jerry Lynn hits one. Francine, who I forget if we mentioned was at ringside or not.
Oh, I don't think we did.
Yeah, Francine's here. Dawn Marie and Jack Victory are all here. Francine stops the ref from counting. Dawn Marie then comes in to fight Francine. I'm like, you two are not opponents right now.
Right.
This is why this four-way bullshit you're doing doesn't work.
But girls hate each other, Nick.
Yeah. What are you, Booker T?
Girls are just so mean. If a girl sees another girl, gotta fight her.
Oh my God. I'm not the time for this, but I'm recalling that like Booker T was known for going like, women just like naturally hate each other. And I'm like, put fucking Stevie Ray on commentary. How bad's that going to be? Carino stops Dawn Marie. Credible and Carino hit a double super kick on Jerry Lynn. Justin Credible hits a That's Incredible on Jerry Lynn. And Steve Carino hits an old school expulsion on Sandman. And they get a simultaneous pin. So we're down to two. And it makes the weird double jeopardy rules entirely pointless.
So Sandman and Flynn are out.
Yes.
The crowd is not happy about this.
Yeah, Steve Carino's in the process of turning face, but...
not there yet, yeah, obviously.
Jerry Lynn and Sandman were the two faces, and... So we have heel versus heel for the finale of this, and the crowd's not happy. I think they're more pissed about Sandman than they are Jerry Lynn.
Yeah.
And we get loud bullshit chants.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, y'all fucked up.
It doesn't help that Carino Incredible face-off throw punches, and the first punch Just Incredible throws whiffs.
Bad. Whiffs bad.
He at least recognizes it and throws another punch, but yeah, it's like, yeah, good. He throws a short right hook and like doesn't hit anything. Like, oh no.
You can see a lot of air in between.
Carino hits a bionic elbow and then an elbow drop that like the crowd doesn't react to. Like, you're invoking Dusty, but you heel attack Dusty, so like,
yeah.
You want them to pop? For the- I don't
I can't
know.
Tell.
Carino gets backdropped on a Jerry Lynn at ringside because, yeah, Jerry Lynn and the Sandman are just standing at ringside, and Sandman will not stop slapping the mat to get the crowd into it.
Yeah, now they're, like, just rooting on the match, which is weird.
Well, they are, but they're also attacking the opponents occasionally.
I guess, yeah.
Because Jerry Lynn attacks Carino, but I'm like, he wasn't your opponent.
So, doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, Sandman attacks Credible, also not his opponent on the outside. And then Carino sets up a table like near the corner, but not in the corner. It was a weird placement because one leg's down, one's up, and it wasn't in the corner. I'm like, what? Okay. Mm-hmm. Carino Incredible trade chops back and forth, and the crowd keep wooing, but the way they're doing these chops is waiting for the like applause of, oh my God, you guys are fighting so hard, and they don't get it.
Yeah, they're just not getting it because it doesn't really earn it.
Both men bonk heads and everyone at ringside slaps the mat. Carino suplexes Credible through the table, but Credible kicks out. Steve Carino then tunes up the band as Francine is getting in the ring and in a hilarious looking spot. I don't know if he gets her actually at all, but just Incredible tries to pull Francine in the way of the super kick. And again, I don't know if Steve Carino even gets close to Francine. But Francine sells it midair like she has taken a bullet.
Like, yeah, she looks great doing it.
It's a great sell job, but I don't know if it warranted it.
I don't think it did, but the way she sold it, it made sense why she was, you know, knocked out for the rest of this match.
And credit to her, butt cheeks are out the rest of the match.
She looks great. Yeah. Listen, we can't really fault her. She looks great. She played the part well. She did her job.
At one point in the end of this match, Emily looked at me and said, do you want me to look like Francine? Which is such a loaded, unfair question.
It's such a trap question.
Emily, what was the correct answer to the question?
Yes.
I said that.
Eventually, with coaxing.
I measured my answer and I was wrong. So despite pulling Francine in the way of the kick, Steve Carino just still hits old school expulsion on Just Incredible, but Credible kicks out. Credible then hits a super kick, and Carino kicks out, so Credible hits him with a kendo stick. Then we get another old school expulsion from Steve Carino, but Dawn Marie runs in the ring and turns on Steve Carino and low blows him.
Yeah, why? I don't understand why. I don't understand why she turned on Steve Carino.
I think it was just a you don't value me. What the fuck am I doing with you? Because Jack Victory comes in to be like, what the fuck? And Dawn Marie low blows him.
I'm wondering if she's seeing that Just Incredible is allowing Francine to come in and like kind of fight for him and be in the ring. And she's like, well, I want to do that too. And she's constantly being told, no, you get on the sidelines. Like, no, you don't belong in the ring. And she's like, actually, fuck you. I do belong in the ring. Maybe.
Yeah, I think what this is meant to be is Carino is slowly turning face and Dawn Marie's a heel manager and he's pushing her away. And this is
maybe
this is the way of the heel manager has turned on you to make you a little more face.
I didn't totally get it that way, but I see what you're going for.
I think that's what they're going for. Just, you know, execution, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jack Victory is knocked out. Just Incredible then hits three fuck you kendo stick shots to the head of Steve Carino.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Steve Carino hits a super kick and pins Just Incredible. It's like, oh, okay.
Fucking hard hits.
Yeah. And so yeah, our new ECW champion, Steve Carino.
Woo!
Carino celebrates in a very face-like way of like soaking in the crowd and like, thank you.
Maybe.
And
yeah, I mean, maybe you might be on something.
Jerry Lynn comes in with the title and Carino offers a handshake. Once again, a very face move. Jerry Lynn hands him the championship and like slaps him, which Joey Styles is like, I think that's him saying he wants the first shot. So I think that's a Jerry Lynn's not turning heel. Please don't think that.
Yeah, maybe.
And yeah, Carino celebrates with Jack victory as we go off the air.
Yay!
Thoughts on this match? It's a 25-minute match, and man, does it feel like it.
Yeah, this is a long match. It was fine for what it was. Like, I liked it when all four men were in, because you got to see all four men for the most part. It wasn't a lot of walk-in brawls.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like all the designed spots in this match.
Yeah.
It's just the glue in between that I'm
just, like, lacking.
Yeah, and there's just, you know, the note here and there of, like, all right, we got to have the valets get involved and Dawn Marie's
the
turn.
Yeah, the valets did not need to be involved.
Even more pointing to the face thing, like, Jack Victory didn't do fucking shit in this match.
No.
And normally, you know, your heel buddy is going to interfere, so, yeah, I think this is meant to be.
They could have done more with Carino versus Sandman, like, more one-on-one. Like, in the middle of the ring, have your face down, and then eliminate Sandman. Like, make it a big moment. Because it didn't feel like a big moment.
Yeah, the double pin did not help. And it just didn't help that, like, the double Jeopardy rules, there was no reason for this.
No.
There was no even fun twist. Because, like, what you need to do with this, the perfect setup for a rematch, is you have Jerry Lynn pin Steve Carino after a move, and it's like, sorry, you're not facing him.
Right.
He's not eliminated. Like, have the visual win. That sets up the perfect thing.
Right.
Why didn't you do that?
Because I don't know that they have writers.
Yeah. You had the two guys get eliminated at the same time, negating any interesting element of the stipulation that you already
knew. I
honestly
think that this match was quote-unquote written by the four guys that were in the ring. And that's what they came up with. They're not writers.
I did find it interesting that, yeah, I guess because you want to do the face turn with Carino, that you do heel versus heel. Because if you do Carino versus either of the other guys, the crowd's probably going to cheer for the other guy.
Yeah, for sure.
So it probably is the best way to do it, heel versus heel, but you did sacrifice a bit of the match to it.
Yeah.
That said, thoughts on this show as a whole?
Not a bad show. Crazy main event. Didn't love the main event. But, like, I think that this was a very top-heavy show. Where, like, the beginning was really good, and then the middle kind of lacked.
Yeah, I think this is, unfortunately, a very forgettable show, but, like, that's kind of a sad thing. Where, like, I'm not going to remember most of the show, but, like, it's not bad. It's just there.
Yeah.
And I think the impromptu nature of a lot of these matches really make it feel like you just happen to see a show. And it doesn't feel like a big event. It just feels like a show.
To me, I didn't have as much of a problem with the impromptu because we didn't watch any of the build and there were no packages. So it didn't feel like the impromptu was ruining a product.
That's fair. I think just sometimes there's a vibe you can kind of read when there's a whole story, especially if commentary is telling you that.
Exactly.
But
no, you're right.
Yeah. I think this is a great event. I don't know that it's a great show.
Sure.
Which is weird, but nothing here. I think I'm going to super like feel the need to go back and look at. But again, I don't regret watching the show.
No, I actually really am happy that we did because this was a good reprieve.
Yes.
Like WCW is rough right now. But this was fun. And this was a fun, low stakes trip away from what we've actually been internalizing.
I'm looking at the roster of this and I'm like, I don't think anyone leaves between now and January. Like,
okay.
I think this is pretty, like, the set players we're going to kind of get. Because I'm like, there's just not enough time to go anywhere else.
And this company dies in January?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, their final show is not guilty as charged. It's a random house show shortly after. But, like, there's, like, no TV tapings or anything after that. So, we've talked a bit about that show. We will talk way more about it, obviously, when we get there.
We'll watch it, yeah.
We do have Miracle on 34th Street in between now and then. Let's come out on Thanksgiving, which this year will be the day after your birthday.
Yeah, so next year will be right on my birthday.
Yeah. We're trying to figure out how to drop that episode when Santa enters the Macy's Day Parade.
Yes. So in my family, Macy's Day Parade is very important for Thanksgiving. This is a lot of lore that y'all don't need. But Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is very important to my family on Thanksgiving because the Christmas season does not start until Santa Claus crosses 34th Street in front of Macy's. That is the start of Christmas. You do not get to put up a fucking Christmas tree until Santa goes down 34th Street, okay? I don't want to hear it. I don't want your pumpkin. I don't want your pumpkins until after Labor Day. So have your fucking pumpkins, whatever. But I don't want
No Pamela?
I don't want your pumpkin flavored shit until after Labor Day. I don't want your candy canes until after fucking Santa comes down 34th Street. So you can have your little peppermint mocha for Thanksgiving dessert. I don't care. But not before.
Fair.
Very passionate about Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving.
All right. Well, before we get into the future episodes, let's bring this home with best bit, worst bit, and MVP. Emily, what is your best bit of the show?
I gave my best bit to the first real match. It was the CW Anderson Kid Cash match. Fucking love that match.
I'm also going to go with that. Yeah. I think there are a couple matches that I'm like, ooh, okay, like neared that one. But I mean, especially given there was like nothing going to that match. Like that's just a good, just solid a match.
Good match.
Good clash of styles. Mm-hmm. My hunch is we're going to split MVPs in that match. But before that, let's go to worst bit. Emily, what was your worst bit on the show?
Weirdly enough, I still am giving it to New Jack. I'm still giving it to the New Jack match.
Oh, yeah. I'm also giving it the New Jack versus Rhino match.
For the opposite reason as I usually do. I was bored.
Yeah, it was a boring match. I mean, I know it's the network, but like that's how the match is now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The match gave me an active fucking headache. And like, yeah that's the worst bit. Like, as much as the Balls Mahoney tag match wasn't good...
It still had glimmers of good.
The finish kind of like, it gave it enough points.
Oh, yeah. Honorable mention to that flame moment, yeah. I guess, at the end there. Yeah, honorable fucking mention. Because that was so beautiful and so... Mwah.
You fucking moth.
Mm, I love a flame.
So, Emily, who is your MVP?
It is not Kid Cash and is not CW Anderson.
Okay, actually, I have a guess.
It's super crazy.
That was my guess.
Yep. Yeah. He was so flippy and he came in and he really saved that match for me. Like, oh man, he was so good.
Yeah, he was very good. I think the only thing is he was so set up for success.
I don't care.
He
was so fun to watch.
He was very good. I think I am going to give it to CW Anderson because like that's a death spot potentially. Like there's no expectations there and you guys managed to pull something good out of that.
No,
so
I agree.
I'm going to give it to him because... Yeah, being a ground-based wrestler who could put on a good fucking show like that, mm-hmm. like, good on you.
But super crazy. Really just, like, showed what he is capable of with those flips and those springboards off of fucking everything. Like, oh my God,
he's I'm really hoping he's on the next show.
I hope so.
Yeah, like, he may have worked his way into the MVP for the next show just based on this. But that's going to do it for our third-to-last original ECW pay-per-view. Next up, we are back to WCW Nitro.
Boo.
They're going to be in Chicago-ish, apparently. And
CM Punk?
And we have a Battle Dome crossover. Ugh. Yeah. Guys, spoilers, we're not watching Battle Dome. I'm not paying straight up US dollars to watch Battle Dome.
Yeah, no. I'm not
And
that.
Would you believe it? No one even cares to pirate it.
No. I'm not excited to go back to WCW.
It could be good.
Babe.
Certain things could be good.
Do you believe that?
I don't. Oh my God. Actually, this fucking Thunder in between, so much happens.
Okay, I'm excited for the Thunder Report.
Brief preview. Three Count and the Young Dragons both kick a member out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, we got that to look forward to. And they formed their own team.
Good.
With Blackjack and Hookers.
Great.
But until then, you can listen to all of our back catalog, including, I guess, all the previous ECW shows. If you want to just kind of timeline what a weird route this company takes for outsiders. Plus, you can listen to the previous Nitro and Halloween Havoc. It's been a little while since we recorded, so we may have to listen to that just to kind of catch back up. But we can listen to it pretty much everywhere podcasts are found, except for SoundCloud. Also, follow us on social media at Butts in the Pod. We'll post when episodes are up and... You know, maybe another post here and there, but...
We do respond when people respond, but we are not we do not actively post.
If you tweet at us or message us, we are usually good to respond.
Absolutely.
And then over on our Patreon, patreon.com/buttsintheseats, $5 a month gets you a crap load of bonus content.
Hell yeah. We've got Legends House. We've got fucking book reports. What else have we watched over there? Some WrestleMania write-ups. We've got, like... A whole bunch of stuff over there. A whole TNA route, like 30 episodes?
More than that, yeah. The whole new Monday Night Wars, Bischoff and Russo's book reports, and we are about to start the rise of the NWO. We're doing all the NWO pay-per-views from Bash of the Beach through Starrcade 97.
Scott Norton's back, baby.
Yeah. And smooth as Ice Train.
Sure.
But Emily, any closing thoughts before we move back into the world of WCW?
I don't wanna. On
all fronts, we've doubled down. We're getting WCW both barrels.
I know, I don't want to.
But hey, one's supposed to be good.
I am excited for the NWO run, actually. Yeah. I'm not excited for the end of Nitro. I'm excited for the start of the NWO.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
It'll be something.
But until that's something, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts and Seats Podcast.
Bye.